Thank you.
World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, so I'm kind of proud this morning. I'm getting at it again after getting kind of lazy. My good buddy and cousin, Rodney, bought me a membership, believe it or not, at our local golf course. He went and bought me a membership because I said, I need to get out and walk more. I said, if I could just walk 9 holes a day, well, Rodney went and bought me a membership. So earlier this week, on Monday maybe it was, I took my grandson David out, and he's learning to play golf. And so we walked. He wanted to ride in a cart, of course. But we walked 9 holes, and it took us about, 2 hours and 25 minutes to walk 9 holes because David, he's a little kid. But last night, yesterday afternoon, I told Michelle, honey, I'm gonna go for a walk. I'm going to take my clubs with me. So she said, okay, good. You know what? 1 hour and 15 minutes later, I played 9 holes of golf. I got my pulse rate up, and dudes, I'm after it again, man. I'm after it again. So, hey, welcome. We have a do-over or a redo. We never do it. I don't know if we've ever done this in history of Coach Dave Live. We threw so much meat on the table yesterday that we have to redigest some of it. And that's what I love about this show is the ability to bring your belief to the table, throw it on the table, let us dissect it and chew it up and try to come to some consensus as to what the truth is. Because there are some of these things that we're really never going to, we're just not going to come to agreement on, right? Just not going to. We're going to do communion. So get yourself some elements. Joe's going to lead us here in communion. I got some great stuff for you today. Great stuff. That King James, did anybody go to that website and read on that King James Bible, what they've done to that King James Bible? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. See, Judah's raised a hand already. So now go ahead, Judd.
No, just saying it's an incredible website.
It's amazing. And listen, the truth sets you free. The truth sets you free. Janine, go ahead.
Yeah, I was in that site. And the only thing that I couldn't find is that it complains about or talks about the King James Bible, but it doesn't say that. Was it from the Textus Receptus or the Alexandrian text? If it's, that's a very important part.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, there's so much we don't know. And we just been programmed and we swallowed it and believed it. Next Wednesday night, two things. Monday, Memorial Day, show number 1900. I ain't missing it on Memorial Day. Are you kidding me? Celebrate 1900 on Memorial Day. So we'll be here. And then next Wednesday evening, 7 p.m., Richard Gage of what used to be Architects and Engineers for Truth is going to join us for an evening podcast that I want to try to get as many people as you know. Could you pull that up there real quickly and then put it in the chat for me, Spence? Number one, Richard Gage, 911.org. He, folks, we've been lied to so badly. So here's his website. Put it in the chat so people have it. And then tell everybody you know that next Wednesday, 7 o'clock, Richard Gage is going to be on with us with irrefutable proof that everything they told us about 911 was a lie. Wow, huh?
That man is incredible. That man is incredible. I'm excited that you got him on.
So this is when it all began, man. This is when all those lies began. Golly, don't miss that. All right, Mel, go ahead.
Thanks, Coach. I just wanted to let you know, Spencer, if you could go to thelibertyactionnetwork.com. I did post the article that you wrote, Coach, about on News with Views. So right underneath in the social media section, I put it there to say that you could share that out on social media. It's the article that's entitled Let's Celebrate Natural Family Month. So I know Spencer's going there, but I thought it was a really good article. And the other thing that we're working on is getting a template set up to create yard signs. So as we move through Natural Family Month, I know that we're probably over midway through right now, but I'm looking at making a sign that we could maybe have in our yards all the time, maybe just saying Natural Family Strong or Natural Family, so that we just kind of start to make a marker about that. And I've asked Spencer to help me to create like a logo that we could use on yard signs or maybe even eventually a flag. So
Spencer, click on Natural Family Month. You're scrolling around. That's where you're going to find the information on Natural Family, right?
Yeah, go scroll down.
I hope you've all signed a pledge. Hope you've all done that.
All right, so there it is, right underneath the, go up just a little bit, Spencer. So we've got the picture that you can share that was created, that beautiful, happy family there. And then just below that, it says, click to share News with Views, Natural Family article. And so that will take you to the article and then just copy and paste that link into whatever social media browser that you're using. So I just wanted to let you know that I've updated that and hope to have the yard sign information soon. Thanks.
Oh man, we're doers. I'm going to show you some stuff today. It's great. Okay. Hang on there with me. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to let Joe go ahead and lead us in communion. And then we'll dive into some good stuff here today. Thanks for getting up, Joe.
Yeah. Thank you, Coach. I'm just amazed by the prophecy and prophetic accuracy in the Bible, and I thought I'd pick this these verses that my understanding are no longer allowed to be recited in synagogues. And you, if you haven't read it in a while, you'll recognize why quite quickly. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Amen. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as we hid it as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. Was he stricken? I guess it's not hard to see why that's no longer read in synagogues.
Yeah.
And I'll say a short prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for allowing us to be in it with you. Thank you for this amazing congregation we have here, and the technology that makes it possible for us to meet from across this great country. And we thank you, Lord, for that we have a God who gave his only begotten Son, that we who believe in him may have everlasting life. It's really not possible for us to comprehend and with that act alone, Lord, we just can't comprehend it. And we, as we examine ourselves, we ask you to forgive us our sins and transgressions and bring us cleansed into your sight. Bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave everything that we may have salvation and have restoration of what was stolen in the garden, what was lost in the garden. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now I'm reminded that when you're fasting, this bread tastes even better. So, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Amen. 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 Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Joe. Man, I'm gonna get into it. All right. I've been excited. I slept really well last night. Woke up really early. It's all good. I just want everybody out there to know how much I love my wife. I just want to continue to. What a woman! What a woman! And I just appreciate her so much. I want to show you a couple things, Tim. I'm going to get you in here in a second, Tim. I got a couple things I want to lay out for people really, really quick. I saw a real ominous sign today, and you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Pull up number one, if you would, for me. You reap what you sow. When the Catholic Church, when they were the ones who upheld the pro-life position. I don't know if you guys remember that, right? They were the ones. We were on the front lines. They were the ones talking about to multiply and replenish the earth. The Catholic Church, Columbus, Ohio, is closing 15 Catholic churches. You believe that? Can you know why? You want to know why? Because Catholics quit following their church's orders to be fruitful and multiply. Don't use birth control. Catholic families are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. 15 Catholic churches. Scroll down there a little bit, folks. It's a big deal. Look at the size of some of these.
What a breath of fresh air.
Huh?
What a breath of fresh air.
Look at this, huh? But here's what I'm saying, man. There's a new thing that's going on, right? But we have to understand this, that in a lot of ways, the Catholic Church, man, they've held up the banner. Say what you want to about them. They've held the banner for a long time, even though they all voted Democrat. Holy Rosary shutting down. There's a list of them. Dude. What the heck is going on? I never heard of that ever happening in my life. 15 of them closing. Closing. How do you close a Catholic church? How do you close one? I don't know. We're going to find out. Number two, look, and I'm going to get you in here, Tim, I promise. But I'm going to lay this on the table, and then maybe we'll talk about it on Monday on my 1900th show. That's not what I want to see. Pull up Target. You guys don't know this. You know, Target is at it again, right? Did you guys know that? They're at it again. They've lost billions of dollars. But how many of you know this, that Target's first, this is not their first foray into kicking Christians in the teeth, okay? I pulled this up from the Newark Advocate. Published when? April 27th, 2016. How many of you out there know that moi showed up at Target when they had the bathroom policy? You remember when they had the bathroom policy? That anybody could use whatever, huh? That, how long ago is that? That's 8 years ago. Well, nearly 40 people gathered Wednesday at Target and Heath to protest against the company's transgender bathroom. Local minister and football coach Dave Dobenmeyer led the protest after holding a smaller one Tuesday morning at the same store and being asked to leave by the Target staff. 40 of us showed up. You know what happened? You know what happened within 3 days? The American Family Association picked it up, but they made it national, and Target lost $5 billion in value in the next 30 days. Because what? A simple guy showed up with a sign and his daughter and confronted. So I've been doing this a while. I've been doing this a while. Pull up the Target reel, number two. Pull up number two. See if you can pull that. Huh? Target bathroom. This. Huh? No, where's it? Wait, what's going on? I don't even know why we're seeing that. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. Just click over here on the thing. No, can you click? Can you? It won't go. Okay. Look, I got a video in here because I went into the manager. I went into the man. This is before, folks. This is before it was national. I have a tape. They pulled it all down off of YouTube. You can't find it anywhere. I have a tape of me talking to the manager of this store in Heath, saying, "Is this true? Is this true? Is this true? Is this true?" And it went viral. American Family Association picked it up, and boom. Hey, folks, what we do locally matters. All right? It matters. Now, next thing, let's see. Number four, pull up number four real quick. I'm going to talk about more of these next week. But number four. Oh, that's it. Okay, man, I did the same thing. Okay, cool. I got some more. I'm going to move on because I want to get Tim in here. But I want to show you something before we do, Tim, because yesterday we degenerated into Dr. Chuck's in here this morning. Good morning, Dr. Chuck. Hope we'll get your 2 cents worth here in a second. Pull up for me number six. Pull up number six. Because yesterday we talked about, again, my Catholic tradition. They taught me that I sinned every day in thought, word, and deed. Right? Thought, word, and deed. Okay. I don't know what the stuff I'm giving you, why it's coming up. Context. James in context. There you go. There you go. There you go. Okay. Hey, folks. If I'm sitting here right now and I'm not thinking about anything at all, my wife comes walking down here with a big pile of hash browns and eggs and brings them. I'm thinking, wow, that's good. That was a thought that came into my head. Right? It's a thought. Thought is temptation. Thought is not sin. Focusing on that temptation, giving it life, that is sin. Can I prove it to you?
Boom.
James 1, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, what do you mean tried? Well, when the temptation comes, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot tempt with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The thought is the enticement. Then, when lust has conceived, in other words, when you give action and credibility to the thought, now you've conceived something, now you're in trouble. Because when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Huh? A conception and a baby. Huh? Yeah, oh yeah. Conception, I gave life to the thought, and now I got me a baby. Brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of fruit, first fruits of his creatures. So I'm laying on the table today. The initial thought is not a sin. Taking the thought and giving action to it, that's where the sin begins. Okay, let me get Tim back in here. Because Tim, we never done this at Coach Dave Live, 2 days in a row. Because these are some of the things we have to understand. What does it mean to take captive every thought? Take captive every thought, and do what with it? Bring it to the obedience of Christ. Are you sitting down? Are you sitting down? The Bible says that Christ was in all ways tempted. Does that mean he had thoughts? He was in all ways tempted, yet without sin. So are you telling me that when they're spitting on him, he didn't have that human reaction to want to smack somebody in the mouth, but he didn't act on it. And he didn't give any topos, position of opportunity, to that sin. He did not give life to the thought. Are you with me? Folks, if thoughts alone were sin, God, we'd be in a mess, wouldn't we? We'd be in a mess. I'd be in a constant state of repentance if thoughts were sin. The victory of Jesus Christ overcoming the world is this. I don't act on what I think. That's the victory. That's the spiritual warfare.
I think.
Come on in, Tim. What do you think?
Well, I think you're about right on. Shoot the bullseye. You're right there. You want to open up with the scripture? Well, let's open up with 2 Timothy 3:5-7. 2 Timothy 3:5-7. Here you go. Go ahead, coach.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captive silly women laden with lust, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Now, I know there's none of us in this room that have this problem. Because we always come to the truth. And that's the neat thing about Bible study, is that if you study it enough, you can see it. Okay. So let's go back to Romans 8:18 real quick.
So Tim, hang on a second.
Yep.
So you mean this morning when I fired up my computer and the first thing that popped up on my computer, I'm just telling you, first thing I went to Facebook, always check Facebook. I go to Facebook and some lady pops up with boobs. Can you, they want me to click here to see so-and-so's boobs. Oh, she looks really, really good in this new bit. Now, was that a sin? I said, nope, ain't interested in it.
Right.
I didn't give birth to my thought.
Exactly. Right. Go ahead. So one of the things you could say to yourself is, I'm going to put up my shield of faith and I'm going to grab all those darts of the evil one. And that's all that can happen is those darts are fired at us. You put your shield up, you go, boop, I got it. Thank you. Boop, I got it.
No weapon formed against you shall prosper. So weapons are formed against you, sometimes in thoughts. By the way, not always the devil, not always demons, sometimes just your carnal nature. You have thoughts. It's a weapon that's formed against you, but it doesn't. Boom, I caught it. You're right, Tim. My shield caught it.
Yep, yeah. And you don't have to worry about it. You know, I don't worry about. Now, here's the thing. I was raised Catholic, and I was told as a young man that all of these certain things were sin. Right? You can't eat meat on Friday. Well, they changed that. I mean, there's all these things that are changed by man's doctrine. So if we get away from man's doctrine, and we find out once saved, always saved, no, you can sin. You don't know you can go to hell. Get away from man's doctrine. Get away from that kind of stuff and read the Bible. And if we do that, we will be set free.
So, Timmy, I did a little bit of study this morning, again, just because I always wanted to be on solid ground. I went back to my Catholic teaching of mortal sins and venial sins. What? Well, then, if I have a dirty thought, is that a mortal sin or is that a venial sin? Hey, Jesus said, would you all quit teaching the doctrines of men? Will you stop doing that?
Boom.
Go ahead, Tim.
Well, you know, I hate to say it, but even Timothy, Paul told Timothy, all the way back in Moses' day, they're these type of men that corrupt the truth. And it's gonna happen all the time. Hey, I've been doing this for almost 40 years. So as a pastor for 30 years, I've come to the conclusion, I've met thousands of people, and I've come to the conclusion there's some people that can grab the truth, they hold on to it, and they're not swayed. You can put temptation in front of them. You can put all kinds of persecutions in front of them, and they are not going to stray. And then there's some people, they hear a little itching ear theology, and they run to it. They go to the largest church. They find the easiest thing to believe, and they grab onto it. Okay. So just look at Romans 8:18 and ponder this just for a second.
You know 8:18.
No, I'm at 6:18. I'm sorry, 6:18.
6:18.
6:18.
Being,
what does that say?
Being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. What? You mean you can serve righteousness rather than sin?
Yeah. So either the Bible is a liar, or we have been set free from sin.
For so, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Is that carnal nature, right? For as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now you yield your members, servants to righteousness. Bob Dylan, you got to serve somebody, right? So you can serve sin or you can serve righteousness.
Right.
And Tim, before we get born again and filled with the Spirit of God, we're incapable of doing that. Ye, for when you were the servants of sin, next verse, that's me. Anybody else out there at one point was the servant of sin? Anybody want to confess that today? That was me. That was me. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Oh, my goodness.
Boom.
Oh, I got to serve somebody. Oh.
You know, wait, Coach, I'll say this again.
I feel like I've elbowed in too much, Tim. Go ahead.
No, keep it up, man. That's why I love this. I love this topic and this show. So here's sin, right? The temptation is right here. You just talked about it. Until you yield your members to grab onto that sin, right? It's just temptation. So you don't sin until you physically take your members, and do something with those members.
Wow.
So why not just walk in the Spirit all day long, every week, every month, and allow He, the Holy Spirit, capital H, guide us?
But now being made free from sin, 22, and become servants to God, scroll down, Spence, please. Ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. Hey, Tim, I left that behind me, man. And now I got the gift of God, which is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Dudes! It's so clear.
It's powerful. You want to see something that's going to rock your boat?
Yeah.
Go to watch this. So now we've been set free from sin, right? Now look at Romans chapter 7, verse 1.
Know ye not, brothers, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he lives.
Keep on going.
For the woman, which hath the husband, is bound by the law to her husband, so as long as she lives. But if the husband's dead, well, that law doesn't apply to her anymore. So then, if while her husband's alive, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband's dead, she's free from that law. So she's not an adulteress, though she be married to another man.
Keep on going.
Wherefore then, brothers, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. You divorced that old man. No, that old man died. You're not married to that sinful man again, are you, Tim?
No.
No. Wow, that you should be married to one another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruits unto God. So when my old man died, I'm not married to that sin lady anymore.
Right, and also to the law. There's no law anymore to convict you of wrong. Just when Moses brought the law in, it magnified sin. So if there's no law anymore to magnify the sin, there's no more super guilt. That's what I call it, right? When the law is there to pick you apart, there's nothing to judge you by. Now, if you want to be judged, you can go to, again, Galatians 5, find out what those sins are. But we have now been released from the law.
Number six, but now we are delivered from the law.
Yeah.
That being dead, scroll down, please. That being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter of the law. Well, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No, I didn't say that. I didn't know sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except by the law as well. Or you shall not covet. I didn't know that either. Because there was a law that told me that.
Yeah, okay. Keep on going.
Keep.
What's this?
Sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, which means basically unruliness. For without the law, sin was dead. Why? For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment.
Now notice what the law did.
What's that?
They keep on going. The law came, the commandment came, and sin revived. The law magnified his sin. Okay, keep on going.
And the commandment, which is ordained to life, I found to be unto death. The law, the spirit of the law gives life, right? The letter of the law brings death. Isn't that in there? I think it's in there somewhere.
Yep.
For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and sin by the commandment slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made unto death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that's what I do.
Okay, now hold on. Now watch this. Paul is talking about following the law. Now, chapter 6, we've been set free from sin, right? So we've been set free from sin. We have this power to live a holy life. The Holy Spirit is power. The dunamis power lives in us. And we get to walk in this newness of life, in this joy, peace that passes understanding. When we go back to the law, this is what happens to us. Watch. Keep on going.
Where was I? Let's see.
16.
Okay, 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I don't know. I don't know how to find that. For the good that I would do, I don't do. But the evil which I don't want to do, that's what I do. Now I do that I would not. It is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present within me. Wow. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing into captivity the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Continue.
See the members again. There it is. There's a war going in our members. And if we don't yield our members to sin, because there's a war going on, that temptation is always going on. It's never going to cease until you're dead. But if you learn how to say, wait a second, I died in Christ, rose up, newness in life. The old man, the hated God is dead. And now I am a energized, right?
Brand new creature.
Yep, exactly. So when we try to follow the law, look what happens in verse 24.
Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. Wow, Tim. But with the flesh, the law of sin. That's it, isn't it? You take captive every thought and you serve the law of God.
Yep.
If you don't do that, you serve the law of flesh. Serve sin.
Yeah. So here's a problem with a person. They're set free in Christ Jesus. They go back and they try to find a law, something that will dictate a way to live apart from the Holy Spirit. So what happens is they become wretched. The things I do not do, I wish I did. The things I did, I do not want to do. Oh, wretched man, who's going to deliver me from this body of sin? Well, verse 25. Right? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Right? So now it's clear that the law is going to magnify sin. And if we try to live our life by the law, you're going to become wretched. You're going to be a person tossed to and fro because you're never going to come to a knowledge of what law you broke. Go back and read Deuteronomy. There are so many laws in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. You know, I used to read to my wife. It says when a woman went through her cycle, she was to leave and go out of the camp for a period of time while she had her cycle for 30 days. And my wife would tell me, oh, honey, please go back to the law so I can be gone for so many days of rest. You know, she loved it. I said, well, honey, it doesn't work that way anymore. You can't take off.
So, Tim, in a nutshell, when we have been born again and we have received Christ as our Savior, we now have the ability to operate off of our spirit man, the Holy Spirit directing our spirit man, not being controlled by our carnal nature.
Exactly.
That's the wretched man. Paul says, daggone it, I wish I could kill the flesh. He said, I can't. It's there all the time. And folks, if you're trying to live by the letter of the law, you will never stack up. That's why we walk in grace. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ gives us liberty and freedom. We are set free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Meaning what? You're not attached to that old carnal nature and those old carnal laws that man laid down. Am I close, Tim?
Yeah, you're coach. Look at exactly. So now we've been set free, not only from the flesh and delivered, we're set free from the law, right? You got to see this in as Paul laid it out. You can't divide it up. It's one concept. Now, since you understand being set free here, being set free from the law, look what happened in chapter 8:1. Look what Paul said.
Chapter 8:1.
This Romans 8:1.
Hey Tim, hang on a minute though, because folks, here's our problem. The Bible says that the natural man cannot receive this. They can't understand this. If you're not born again, you cannot receive the things of the Spirit. You are powerless against your carnal nature. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Condemnation is the judge bringing down the gavel in the sentence. Boom, guilty. There is now, therefore, no guiltiness to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from that law of sin. Wow. For what the law couldn't do, and that it was weak through the flesh. In other words, trying in your own nature to obey the law, you cannot do that. It's weak. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, wow, they mind the things of the Spirit.
So if you're walking in the Spirit, right, you're fulfilling the law. Wow, so that means every single day, if I'm set free, I'm not yielding to my members, every day I am walking in harmony with God and the law is being fulfilled, right?
So Tim, that's why I said to show a couple, 3 or 4 days ago, that much of what we're dealing with is nothing more than a spiritual discipline to stop doing things that we are doing out of habit, out of fleshly urges, out of fleshly desires, memories we have that we keep going back and giving life to. Stop it, because you have the ability now, because of the Spirit of God, to get victory, not over carnal behaviors, eating too much, cussing. You got not only victory over that, but over your thought life as well, through the power of God who says, stop it, take captive that thought. That is not you anymore. That isn't you. That person died. That person that was abused, that person that was taken care of, that person that lied and stealed, that person had abortions, that's a dead person. Quit dragging them back in here. Yes or no, Tim?
Boom.
Amen.
Yeah.
Powerful. So I already dealt with that. Why are you bringing that corpse back in here? I already dealt with that. That's dead. That's gone. Move fullness. Move forward in the fullness of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. So we read yesterday, Romans 4, what did Abraham discover? That's what Abraham discovered, right? This whole thing. Why did he take Isaac up to the mountain? So when you realize that there is a death and a resurrection that took place, that is in us. But the average believer doesn't want to acknowledge what really happened to them.
Mm.
Hey, let me tell you something, man. I am so powerful from what I used to be.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I mean? Guys, think about this. We, all of us, walked in the old manner of life. But now we are what? Set free. And if you really comprehend what happened to you in chapter 6 of Romans, and you follow that all the way through chapter 8, you'll never go back to the old way of thinking.
And Hang on.
Go ahead.
2 Corinthians 5. Pull that up there. Go ahead, Tim. Keep going.
No, go ahead.
2 Corinthians 5. Go down to about verse 15. Let's see what happens in verse 15. Stay right there. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live, wow, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Next verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a dead man. Quit dragging that corpse around with you with what happened to you in the past. Stop it. That man's dead. Quit digging up bones.
So here's a perfect illustration. About 20 years ago, Neil Anderson did this teaching. He wrote a book on it, became a top-selling book, about how to break family curses and sexual curses. And I was reading through this as a pastor back then, and he had a chart you'd follow through. You'd break these curses. Well, I had a lady came in, and she wanted to break the sexual curses. So she sat down and she wrote down, oh, I don't know, 5-6 different guys' relationships she had sex with. So we got through about 5 or 6 of these, and she's breaking the sexual curse, right, of these 6-7 guys she had. And all of a sudden she started crying, just bawling her eyeballs out. And I said, what's going on? She said, there's 3 or 4 guys, I can't remember their name, and I'm going to be sexually tied to them for the rest of my life. And I went, wait a second, this teaching is completely wrong, because we have been set free. Behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. All the curses were broken when you got born again.
Amen.
You don't have to break family curses.
Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, of anybody that, forgive me of it, Lord. I can't remember their names, but please, Lord, put it under the blood. That's sufficient, right, Tim?
Yeah.
Got off each one. Remember when anybody out there used to have to go to confession? When you were a kid in the Catholic Church, I used to have to go, and I had to take a list in with me. I had to list all the sins that I'd done there, right? That's legalism. You can't do that, folks. You can't do that. It's all in the blood.
Confess,
Lord, anything I've done to you today that is against you, against your will, against your whatever, Lord, forgive me of that, Lord. I don't want to be like, I think that's confession. I don't think it needs to go any more than that. Now, look, if the Lord brings others to you, then okay, then specifically repent of that. But otherwise, I believe in broad repentance. I believe it's all under the blood. Okay, let's open it up. Let's get men in here, Tim. You and I dominated quite a bit here. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Nobody wants to? Go ahead, Myra.
Coach, thank you so much. So I have... Oh my God. John 3:4-6. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, whosoever sinneth have not seen him, neither know him. Hallelujah.
That would get deep, man. We could do a deep dive into that one for sure. Go ahead, Dave Allison.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Thanks, Tim, for your teaching. I was thinking as we were talking yesterday and today, you know, we talked about the, is it lust? You know, if we look at something, and I thought about the song Roy Orbison had, Pretty Woman. If, to Tim's point, if we were walking and if we've got our members active, the song would have went Pretty Woman and stopped right there. But it goes on, hey, give me a smile. Then it goes on and on and on. Hey, yeah. Won't you be with me? And I think it's a perfect example of how that look turns into lust. So if you go, so there's a great example.
Well, that's good. That's really good, Dave, right? Yeah, right.
Great. Right. Dave.
Yes, Chuck.
Let's convert this to modern terms. Computer terms,
right?
Like less than a minute. Edwin Abbott wrote a book in the 19th century, in the 1880s, called Flatland, where he took all the Victorian morals and mores and all the details of English royal life and stuff and converted it from a 3-dimensional existence to just 2-dimensional, where they were restricted to the flat plane of the paper, and they did not understand up and down, just right and left. That's all they got. They had right and left, and nothing else on the flat plane. When a sphere out in sphere world came passed through the paper, all they could do is describe it as concentric circles as it passed through the paper. They were unable to go up the z-axis. X and y are 2 dimensions. The 3rd dimension is the z-axis up to heaven. And they could not understand anything. And so let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. If you don't have that mind in you, what's a mind? A mind is a computer program. And you're born with that old clunky IBM Windows 98 machine that can't do everything. But you get
a new mind. When Jesus gives you a new heart, he doesn't clean up your old heart. It's scheduled for execution, and when you die, it goes back to God that gave it. But when the reason Jesus had to resurrect from the dead is we had to have a new body, a new mind, a new person, and we're a new person in Christ Jesus. So that new mind is a different operating system. Now, they both can operate simultaneously, but not in compatibility. So you have to shut down the old operating system and use the new one. So let's assume the new one is an Apple and the old one is an IBM. Both are corrupt, but we'll just use that. I like Apple because of the garden. So when you turn on the new machine, you can now contemplate the concept of free will versus predestination being universally true and yet conflicting with one another. You can contemplate that there's grace and law and they both work together, but you can't understand any of the things we're talking about this morning in your old mind. Your old body and your old mind and your old way of life can't do it. So you have to put that one to sleep. It's Paul says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, it's grace and Jesus that does that, but you have to shut the old machine down. That's the process of repentance. Then you start up the new machine by thanking God for the new life that he gave you, and that's why we talk about a new life in Christ.
Amen.
So the whole thing is based on we're operating in an old system. So if you find yourself unable to comply with the law, so what? Your old man couldn't. The machine won't do that calculation, but the mind will. That's all that there is to that. And so
the Holy Spirit is the software download then, right, Chuck?
Yeah, it's holy software. It's eternal software. And you can try it out in your old machine, this one. But it's designed for the new body that you get when you resurrect from the dead. But you're allowed to try it right now, but you can't try it simultaneously with the old system operating. You have to shut that.
Hey, you know, let me tell you something. You brought up, you know, Calvinist. Once saved, always saved, whatever, right? Let me tell you something. Man-made doctrines are wrong. So
no,
if
wait.
You read this, are you saved? Yes.
No, you're wrong. It is once saved, always saved, and you can also lose your salvation at the same time because that's the machine that we don't have. We can't understand that concept.
No, that's what I was going to say. Exactly. They're both right, and they're both wrong. So my point is, if you go by a man's doctrine, and not by the word of God, we get confused. So it's very simple of what happened to us. And if we would just preach the word.
It's not man's doctrine. It's divine. But God doesn't care which you pick, predestination or free will. He doesn't care because they're both true. He wants to know why you picked predestination over free will or why you picked free will over predestination, because the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. The whole purpose of the Bible and the law is to show you, to reveal to you your inability to even comprehend it, let alone comply with it. It's a measure. So you can have the people who are you wouldn't save all your saved. Well, you can't say that. Yes, you can in Christ. That's true, but not in Christ. It's not true. It's only true in the new system. It's only true in heavenly computer.
I love this show. Roger Gates, come on in.
Yeah, Coach. You know, I remember when I was born again, this, I read a book one time and it helped me a lot. In the book, he talked about us being crucified with Christ and everything. And he talked about this guy that was an alcoholic and went to the bars and he was born again. And somebody came along and asked him to go to the bar. And he says, I can't, I don't have any legs. He said, what do you mean? You got two legs there. He says, well, they're not my legs anymore. They're his, you know? And so this is what it's about. We become a suit of clothes that Jesus wears. What we do with our minds, our feet, where we go, what we do, what we say, it's all his, you know.
Amen. Clay.
Yeah, one of those scriptures that you read talks about God's law magnifying sin. So think about this. If you're going down the highway in a car, how do you know you're speeding? you need a sign that says 55, and then you need a speedometer gauge to let you know whether or not you're going too fast or too slow. So think about this. We got the Bible as the law, God's speed limit sign, and then we got the Holy Spirit as the gauge to tell us whether or not we're breaking that law.
Amen. Well said, Clay. Yeah, that's it, man. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. And also, would you agree with this, Tim, that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit lets us know if man's law is a righteous one or not. Because the Bible says that we're to obey God, not man, right? So were we righteous to mask up and close our church? Was that a righteous act? I say no.
But here's a problem. Like the song, I can't drive 55.
Amen. Me either. Betty's fault. She gave me the fuzz buster. Craig, come on in.
And Coach, for me, this was a really big breakthrough, because I always think, if the foundations be broken, what do the righteous do? So I always think, okay, if something's the first, we're talking about Natural Family Month, right? I mean, that's the first. That's really important. So then you go to the first commandment. And what did Jesus say? He said, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And I brought this up yesterday. I said in Deuteronomy 6, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And I said, well, why isn't your mind back in the Old Testament? But when you put all those together, okay, sometimes the Bible uses analogies or idioms, right? Your heart is your spirit. Your soul is your flesh. Your mind is the conduit. It enters in. It reconciles your flesh and your spirit, man. Okay. It's spiritual and physical. And your strength is your will. Okay. So if you use those idioms in the scripture, I think you'll find that it's really interesting, because they always seem to fit together. So I'm just going to read you just a couple quick verses here. Proverbs 20:27. It says, the spirit of the man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Okay. So it's talking about our spirit. Our hearts are spirit, right? And then in Mark 7, okay, remember we're talking about this guy that got a pig heart, right? He was here from Hagerstown. And I had a great story about that, but I'm not going to get into it. But Jesus is being questioned about his disciples picking up the grain as they were walking, right? And he goes to this, and it says in Mark 7 here, around 18, says, do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it doesn't enter into his heart, but his stomach, right? So here he's talking about the spirit again. And then the last scripture I just want to bring up here is Deuteronomy 10:6. I'm sorry, 10:16. It says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. Okay. So, when we got circumcised, we circumcised our soul, right? Because it's an outward reflection of an inner changing. And so this is really good about what your spirit is. And we have been circumcised in the foreskins of our heart when we're born again. And now we have the mind of Christ, the heart, the spirit of Christ, right? And now we're bringing our members, our souls, into union with that, Amen. Even though we fail at times.
Amen. Tim, wrap it up.
You've been set free. In Christ Jesus.
We're set free in Christ Jesus. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. How do you get set free? Repentance, confession, turning from your wicked ways. You're free. You're free. All you have to do is listen to the Holy Spirit, obey your conscience. No, no, I'm not going to do that. And yes, I am going to do that. And give no topos, position of opportunity, to the devil. Take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring it into the captivity through the obedience of Christ and walk in the fullness of Christ who has set you free. Man, see you Monday. Show 1900 Monday, Memorial Day. God bless you.